Well, a good afternoon again to you all who are listening overseas here in the United States. I have some friends in the Philippine Islands, Eleanor, Vici, and many more, and those in the southern states in Georgia and Alabama. This is Reverend Joseph Caesar coming to you again to bring the good news from BBS Radio. It's been a pleasure serving you and speaking to you about the good news of Christ. And I'm happy again to come into your home. I thank you for listening. And may God richly bless you. And these messages would resonate in the recesses of your heart. I want to talk to you today about becoming every brother's keeper. And I would like to take this lesson from Genesis chapter 4, verse 9. You know, it says all humanity is really descended from one family. Whether we like it so or not, we have what they call a universal DNA. And that DNA emanates from God. So all humanity descends from one family. And in this original familial relationship resides our profound responsibility to one another. The recitation of the generations of Adam trumps the golden rule as the greater principle. Because it clarifies the subject of ethical imperative. But let there be no mistake. The beginning seems to say, the neighbors for whom you must care are not only the people around you, but the entirety of this large, unruly human family from which you are lucky and burdened descended. Each member of this family is your brother, and none, therefore, are you free to abandon. This section of the Bible, the recitation of the generations of Adam, thus challenges us to allow God's question to Cain. Where is Abel, your brother? To reverberate throughout the millennia, it demands that we pose this question with the awareness that in the eyes of God, all humanity is descended of one family. Therefore, it compels us to pay attention to the words of the question itself, to recognize that it is not only a query about Abel's whereabouts, but also an insistence that he is our brother. As common descendants of Adam, we are not free to share our brotherhood with Abel. We are simply not at liberty to allow the gulfs created by national, cultural, linguistic, religious, or racial differences to obscure our responsibility to those who are hurt or violated. Instead, we must step up to this haunting question whenever it is asked and answered resolutely. I am my brother's keeper. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am my brother's keeper. Are you your brother's keeper? If not, then you should be your brother's keeper. Perhaps one of the more thought-provoking questions in the Bible is that one asked by Cain. Cain had killed his brother because God had accepted Abel's offering, but not his own. And you can find it in Genesis 4, 3 to 8. When the Lord inquired concerning Abel, Cain's response was, am I my brother's keeper? Do I supposed to constantly look over him? Am I his shepherd? Or his dog sheep? Am I his babysitter? These are things that pops up. This is a question we would do well to ask ourselves today. Are we? Really, are we our brother's keeper? Do we have a responsibility to watch out for and care for one another? Shouldn't we? Yes, we should. For all humanity came from one handmaid. All humanity descends from one family. When one turns to the New Testament, it becomes clear that the answer is in the affirmative. In fact, there are many passages which emphasize our responsibility to one another, as commanded by Jesus in John 13:34-35, John 15:12-17. As taught by Paul in Romans 13:8, 1 Thessalonians 4:9, as instructed by Peter in 1 Peter 1:22, as stressed by John in 1 John 3:11, 2 John 5. But how are we to express such love? Other passages can provide the answer. How we show our love for one another? How? We are to receive one another. We are to edify one another. We are to serve one another. Even though sometimes we don't want to, we have to do these bidding, these calling. We are to bear one another's burden. Yes, we should. We are to be forgiving one another. We are to be submitting to one another. We are to exhort one another as a brother's keeper. We must and we are to consider one another. We are to be hospitable to one another. We are to show compassion to our brothers, our sisters. And when the Bible talks about brother's keeper, it does not mean that gender alone. It means generally to everyone, whatever gender. In light of such one another passages, is there any doubt that we are to be our brother's keeper? There should not be a doubt. But how well are we doing to stimulate our thinking and help us re-examine how well we are fulfilling our obligations to one another? Just consider the following. Consider the following. Evaluate our role as our brother's keeper. Consider the following. When does one become a brother? Do we receive them into the family of God or ignore them? That's a consideration. In Romans 15:7, are they properly assimilated in the family life of the congregation? Do they remain in the fringe? If we do not even know their name, we can be sure that we are failing as our brother's keeper. Yes, we will be failing, big failures. Do we edify them or put stumbling blocks in their way? No, we should not put stumbling blocks in their way. We should edify them because they are our brothers and we are supposed to be their keeper. As individuals, are we bodybuilders encouraging the members of the body? Or are we like a cancer weakening the members of the body of Christ? By our own example, by our words, attitude, etc. It was said of Philemon that he refreshed the hearts of the brethren, as the people say the same of us. Do we submit to them or arrogantly rule over them? Do we serve them in love or expect them to serve us? Do we really demonstrate hospitality to them by visiting them in their needs, by inviting them into our home, or accepting invitations to their home? Do we? From the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, the foundational book of the Bible, the book of beginnings in the Bible, to the book of Revelation, which is the final book of the Bible, the capstone book of the Bible and the climatic book of the Bible run the scarlet thread of redemption. The thread is scarlet because redemption can only be purchased by blood. The scarlet is a thread because the progress of God's eternal purpose is sometimes difficult to discern amidst the many details of history and the interplay of personalities from in the Bible. But from the beginning to the end, the scarlet thread of redemption ties together God's unfolding drama that has its focal point
the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Alongside the scarlet thread of redemption through the portion of the Bible that deals with the man or not before the end of the age is what I have chosen to label the revelation of mutual responsibility. So we are a brother's keeper. It is the obvious principle of mutual interdependence. It says the recognition that the Bible shows mankind to not only be a race created by God to be dependent upon God, but also the recognition that the Bible shows mankind to be a race created by God to be independent upon each other. I'll give you an example here. There are two bridges I know for sure, Mama, many more, that throws from my city, Brooklyn, to Manhattan. So, they are interdependent. They throw bridges amongst themselves. And man need to follow the example that man need to throw bridges amongst men. We are interdependent. Here's another example. When Eve was deceived by the enticement of the serpent, she did not fulfill her responsibility toward her husband, Adam. In short, she was not dependable and let him down. So when Adam ate the forbidden fruit that was given to him by Eve, he not only sinned against God and precipitated the fall that has led to mankind's present misery, but he also betrayed Eve and generation yet unborn. Adam let Eve down by not being the leader God created him to be and ruined us all mankind. Also, when Abraham yielded to Sarah and sired Ishmael by Hagar, he failed in his duty towards both women, toward the son that was born from his sin, and toward later generations. He let us all down. So how about David's sin with Bathsheba? A terrible sin that led to another terrible sin. Not only did he give great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, but he let down so many people who had depended upon him. And I can go on and on. I can go on and on. For the longest while, I can go on and on. So we are our brother's keeper. I know we are our brother's keeper. Do we submit to them or arrogantly rule over them? That does not bring you your brother keeper if you have to rule over them. Do we serve them in love or expect them to serve us? Do we even consider them? When a brother is overtaken in a fault, do we even consider them? Are we even aware of who they are? Are we ignorant of their problem? If so, why? Maybe it is because we don't assemble enough ourselves. We may wonder about them, but that is not sufficient. Do they drift away? With no one making an effort to reach them? Are we really our brother's keeper? Do we exhort them lest they become hardened by sin? Or are we afraid to comfort them for fear
of running them away. If we truly love them and approach them with humility, they are not likely to run away. If they do, they are running away from God, not you. Remember, such exhortation is to be daily. Perhaps we wait too long. Are we willing to bear their burdens so as to help them overcome and become stronger each day? Or do we rather not be bothered with them? Are we quick to forgive? Are we? Are we really quick to forgive them when they repent? Fear of not being forgiven and accepted back into the family may keep some from repenting and returning to the fold. Do we really communicate a willingness to accept with open arms an offer, complete forgiveness? How we answer such questions really may reveal how well or poorly we are our brother's keeper. Fulfilling our responsibility to be our brother's keeper, living up to the responsibility we have that includes all others, to love one another as Christ loves us. If we have failed to be our brother's keeper, we need to repent of our lack of concern, our inactivity, or whatever has hindered us. Confess our shortcomings in this area to God. Resolve to apply with zeal these one another passages. So are you your brother's keeper? Are you even identified with a congregation whereby you can be a working member who both cares for those in the family and be cared for by them? Are you your brother's keeper? Are you? Do you reach out? Do you see a need in your brothers or sisters and fill it? Or do you rather see them weep for hunger? No clothes, no food, no shelter, no nothing. Is there a heart of compassion in you to be your brother's keeper? Yes, and in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 and to 13, it says, am I my brother's keeper? So you see, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit that the ground and offered unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and he gave thanks unto the Lord. And the Lord had respected unto Abel to his offering, but not unto Cain to his offering he had not respected. And Cain was very wroth. You see, we do a lot of things in our life that turns the Spirit of God away.
You see, when Adam and Eve were driven from the Garden of Eden, God didn't abandon them. He blessed them with many children. The first was Cain. Her second son was Abel. Cain was a farmer and Abel a herdsman. Now there came a time when Cain and Abel brought offerings to the Lord. Cain from the fruit of the ground and Abel the firstling of his flock. God accepted Abel's offering but rejected Cain. We are not told why God rejected Cain's offering, but he did. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is the countenance? Why are you vexed? Why is countenance so fallen? If you do the right thing, then you will be blessed as well. God was saying, don't get mad if I reject your offerings to me. Learn from it and do it right the next time, and it will be all right. If you don't learn from your mistakes, then sin hangs around the door to your heart, just waiting for you to open up and let him in. God knew what the problem was. He asked him, why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? God would always give us an opportunity to explain why we are acting the way we are. Even though he knows that there is a reason behind it. Cain was wrong in what he was doing. He wasn't admitting he was wrong. Instead, he was following the example set by his father and mother. Put the blame somewhere. The blame game, passing the buck. Where is thy brother? And his answer was, why are you asking me for him? I am not his babysitter. I am not his sheepdog. I am not his keeper, but we all are our brother's keeper. One day we are going to have to give account to God about our responsibility to one another. We don't have to see one search the garbages for things to eat. You must not allow that. Don't pass by. Let that happen to you. Just like the Good Samaritan. Priest and Levi saw this man and they walked away. Robbed and beaten and left to die. But here comes one Samaritan. With divine compassion in him, took the man up, pouring the wine and the oil and healed his wound and took him to the inn and spent his own money. And even promised, if there are more expenses when I return, I'll pay you. That's a brother keeper. That's a heart of compassion. Who is your brother's keeper? Those that you know, not necessarily, but those who you don't know. And I pray today, I hope this study has stimulated your thinking about responsibilities you have toward your brethren in Christ. I want to leave it there for now until we meet again in Godspeed next time in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you all for listening. Eleanor, my friend, I thank you for listening, VC. And I thank the many more who are listening from various parts of the world.
And I thank God for this opportunity to be on BBS Radio as usual. Jesus is Lord, and I pray that the owners of the radio station, Doug and Dunn, be blessed and their family. And may God richly bless you all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May God go with you and keep you all through the week and protect you from all harm and danger. In Jesus' name. This is Reverend Caesar from BBS Radio saying goodbye. Until then.